From the Financial Times in London, I'm Gideon Rachman, and this is FT News. One of the most controversial figures in modern European politics is Jarosław Kaczyński, a man who holds no formal position in the Polish government, but who, as leader of the country's Law and Justice Party, is leading a conservative counter-revolution in Poland that some see as anti-democratic. Our Warsaw correspondent, Henry Foy, has just interviewed Mr. Kaczyński for this weekend's FT magazine, and he joins me on the line from Warsaw. And also in the studio is Neil Buckley, our East Europe editor. But Henry, first of all, what was Mr. Kaczyński like? He doesn't give many interviews, after all.
No, Gideon, this was a very rare occurrence. We believe it's the first interview with a foreign news publication since 2007, when Mr. Kaczyński was deposed as Prime Minister. What was really striking about meeting him is that in person he's completely different from the sort of larger-than-life political figure that he projects. And it's difficult to overstate how important and how much of a larger-than-life figure he is in Polish politics. He really does divide the nation into two camps. You're either with Kaczyński or you're against him. In person, he's very calm, he's quite reserved as a person, he's almost a quiet and retiring person. A large gulf away from the belligerent, aggressive politician you see on the stump, who exhorts his followers to turn against the Reds and the Stalinists and the crooks that he believes have been in charge of Poland for the last 8 years. That's the liberal pro-European party that had power. This is a very peculiar man, if you like, for most politicians, unlike many European leaders who enjoy travelling around the continent, who enjoy speaking, who enjoy fame. He's someone who likes to spend his time at home with his books. He donates a lot of money to a cat charity. He famously lives alone and has always been alone, and lives with his cat. He lived with his mother when he was Prime Minister from 2006 to 2007 in the official residence. So this is a man who is very conflicted and very divided as a character, yet wields enormous power across the country.
And what did he tell you in the interview?
It was striking how he didn't mince any of his words. He's obviously realizing he's speaking to a foreign newspaper that is a pro-European newspaper, a liberal free market newspaper, and he was very strong in his views about how he thinks the country has taken completely the wrong path since 1989, in particular since 2004 when it joined the European Union. This is a man who believes the liberal EU ideas that have been imposed, in his view, on his country in exchange for economic growth are wrong, and he rejects the idea, to a larger extent than Mr. David Cameron, perhaps, in the UK, that the EU isn't always a good thing for nation states. He also had some strong words to say about Russia, and he talked a lot about how the current moves by Brussels to put pressure on Poland for the moves it says are against the rule of law is unfair and against the ideas of a democratic body.
Now, Neil, I mean, give us an idea of how significant Kaczyński is now as a figure in European politics, given Poland's importance to the EU.
Kaczyński's a very significant figure because Poland really has emerged both as arguably the most successful of the former communist countries that joined the EU in 2004. Economically very successful, hasn't had a year of negative growth since 1992. But also, Poland really is a kind of the informal leader, if you like, of those ex-communist countries of Central and Eastern Europe. And under the previous government, really had a fairly constructive relationship with the EU and also had very much mended fences with Germany and created quite a strong alliance with Germany. And that was seen as important as kind of helping to secure EU consensus across Central and Eastern Europe. But I think more importantly, we now have Mr. Kaczyński and Viktor Orban in Hungary, who are both waging somewhat similar conservative counter-revolutions, as I think you called them at the outset, where they're challenging EU values and to some extent are seen as pursuing a kind of political mission in which they are weakening or undermining some of the democratic checks and balances that have been put in place in the past 25 years. And that's very concerning for the EU.
And Henry, I mean, reading the piece, it did strike me that strategically Kaczyński's in a rather odd position because he's antagonistic to both of Poland's powerful neighbours, to both Russia and Germany.
That's exactly right, Gideon. This is a man who, let's remember, was born in 1949 in the rubble of Warsaw. I mean, this is a city destroyed by the Nazis during the Second World War. He then was born into a country that was controlled by Moscow through their communist satellite parties in Poland. And he really is a product of this time. And this is something that every Pole is aware of. Mr. Kaczyński represents a conflicted Poland, a Poland that is proud of its modern achievements, as Neil has set out, the sort of post-1989, post-2004, NATO membership, EU membership, growing economy, strong middle class, pro-Western view. But it's also conflicted about how it deals with its history? Does it see Germany as the age-old aggressor, the country that's invaded and annexed, and in some cases removed Poland from the map three times in the last two centuries, firstly as Prussia and then, of course, as Nazi Germany, and also, of course, on the other side, Russia, which is a country that's continually tried to eat away at the eastern border of the Polish Republic and later as the interwar years between 1919 and 1939. Kaczynski is a man who sees Poland as a very strong nation state. He's very similar to Mr. Orban in that sense, and he believes that Poland should have control of its own destiny. He's not anti-EU. This is what he said to me in the piece. He just believes that Poland should have control of its own destiny, and that way it can protect itself better against its two adversarial historical foes on either side. But point of reference, of course, previous governments in Poland and the general consensus in Eastern Europe is that being part of the European project, being part of the Western liberal push, is the safest way to defend yourself against external oppression.
Neil, do you think that the Kaczynski line, both in terms of its internal social conservatism and its deeply wary attitude to its neighbours and even to the EU, is sustainable in the long run? Do you think this is a permanent shift in Poland?
That's a very interesting question. I think there are reasons to be sceptical of this being a permanent shift. Poland, unlike Hungary, still has a reasonably popular and functional opposition. In Hungary, the socialist opposition really imploded, and the only genuine opposition to Mr. Orban's Fidesz party comes from the far right, comes from Jobbik. That's not the case in Poland. Also, Poland traditionally has been very Atlanticist power, has a very close relationship with the US. The US arguably has a lot more influence over Poland than over Hungary. And also, ultimately, Mr. Kaczynski himself and Law and Justice are very anti-Russian, unlike Mr. Orban, who has been prepared to make some accommodations with Mr. Putin. And in a sense, if they have to choose between Russia and Europe, they're ultimately more likely not to want to antagonise Europe too much.
And finally, Henry, just a question on Kaczynski himself. Of course, his life and the political life of Poland has been overshadowed by the death of his twin brother, fellow politician, in a plane crash in Russia in 2010, around which all sorts of conspiracy theories have been bred. Talking to him, do you get the feeling that he's, to put it crudely, over the death of his brother, or is it still something that defines him as a person and as a politician?
Absolutely. There's absolutely no doubt that will define him for the rest of his life. He said to me he'll be in mourning for the rest of his life. Whenever I referenced any kind of positive trait of his, he has an incredible memory, he has an incredible passion for history, he would always say, if only you'd met my brother, you would think that I was nothing compared to him. This is a man who, since the Smolensk crash that you referenced in 2010, has dedicated his life to his brother's mission and his mission. This was something they set out together. They founded the party together. In 2005, his brother Lech was elected president. Mr. Kaczynski very soon after became prime minister. That revolution, if you like, was thwarted in 2007 when Jarosław lost power. And then, of course, when Lech died in 2010, Jarosław took it upon himself to make sure that the rest of his life, the rest of his political career and his time on earth would be to continue that mission. And that's what he made very clear to me in the interview, that he has a lot of things that he wants to get done. He's keen to stay in power for 8 years, two parliamentary terms. And he's unbowed by criticism from outside and unbowed by pressure from the EU to waver from that path. He believes that there's seismic changes needed in Polish society for the good of the country, and he's the man to push forward for them.
Well, thank you very much. That's all we've got time for the moment. If you want to read more about Mr. Kaczynski, I recommend that you pick up the FT Weekend and read a really fascinating profile of him in the magazine. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you might like to try our World Weekly podcast, which is presented by me, Gideon Rachman, the FT's chief foreign policy commentator. Each week, I discuss one of the main political stories of the week with the FT's overseas correspondents and experts, and you can find our latest show at ft.com/podcasts from Wednesdays.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm Premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.